Radio Prague News.
Students plan a week of action over education reform proposals. Prague traffic light artist is set to begin a controversial prison term, and the lower half of Wenceslas Square will be fully pedestrianised as of April. Thousands of students are expected to march next Wednesday in protest against planned university reforms by the Ministry of Education. The week of protests is scheduled to take place between February 26th and March 2nd across the country and will include debates, theatrical presentations and other attention-grabbing displays. According to Jan Gruber, a member of the Week of Protests Student Initiative, the proposed government reforms, which include the implementation of controversial high school fees, threaten the autonomy of universities in favour of political and economic elites. This, he argues, will lead to falling standards of education for all. The protesters are seeking that the reform proposals from Education Minister Josef Dobeš are significantly reworked. Roman Tietz, real name David Honz, a Czech artist who in 2007 defaced 50 traffic lights in Prague by amending the standard red and green figures to show them in situations such as drinking, urinating and being hanged, is set to begin a one-month prison term. The artist chose the prison term instead of paying a 60,000 crown fine, in addition to an already paid fine of 80,000 crowns. The sentence is set to begin on Friday, with numerous groups supporting his cause, including an unusual satirical petition for sending the imprisoned artist a cake filled with a device which he can use to escape incarceration. According to Petr Videnský, one of the activists behind the petition, the aim is to pressure the Czech president to pardon Dietz. The bottom half of Prague's Wenceslas Square will be permanently changed into a pedestrian-only zone as of April the 2nd. This according to an announcement made by Prague 1 Mayor Oldřich Lomecký on Wednesday. As of April, cars will be prohibited from both parking in and driving through the lower half of the square, as well as traversing through via the intersecting Jindřišská Road mid-square. Residents and delivery vehicles will be excluded from the ban. Plans have reportedly been underway for the last 6 months designing the pedestrianisation of the square and should help pave the way for a long-planned revitalisation of the entire area. New traffic signs as well as a police presence will serve to enforce the new ban, which will come in addition to a March to November ban on all cars in the square on the first Sunday of every month. The Czech government has approved an implementation law for the direct election of the next president. Under the draft bill, which must still be voted on by Parliament, candidates will be chosen via a similar system used today to select senatorial candidates. Candidacies will be lodged via a petition from 20 MPs, 10 senators, or via a public petition signed by 50,000 people. Mechanisms for the random verification of signatories were also in the package. The petitions will then be evaluated by the Interior Ministry. However, the government failed to reach an agreement on campaign finance rules for the proposed system, but did agree that candidates should have access to free airtime on Czech television and Czech radio for their promotional advertisements. A law mandating direct elections of the next president, which will take place next year, was recently passed into law and will come into effect this October. Prague's Ruzyně Airport is asking local authorities to approve a ban on the use of laser pointers and other similar devices in a 20-kilometre circumference around the site, reports Týden. Under the proposals, fines of up to 5 million crowns could be levied against offenders, with repeat cases being treated as criminal acts. So-called green lasers are of the greatest concern, especially since they are freely available to purchase in the country, according to Petr Navrátil of the Czech Civil Aviation Authority. Last year, 36 incidents in which pilots reported laser beams disrupting their ability to see and thus causing the risk of a potential disaster were catalogued. Even the smallest handheld laser pointers can cause pilots momentary blindness, particularly at night. And a quick look at the weather. Overcast conditions continue across much of the Czech Republic, with temperatures ranging from 3 to 6 degrees Celsius. Mild conditions are set to continue, with temperatures up to 9 degrees Celsius on Thursday and some showers in the east.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Sarah Barufka. In the program we have for you today, a Czech MEP has confirmed that former Ukrainian Prime Minister, the now jailed Yulia Tymoshenko, is not receiving adequate medical attention. And Other Air, an exhibition that brings surrealist art to the Czech capital, is opening in Prague. And later in the program, Dominik Yoon takes us to Prague's famous TV tower. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. The Czech MEP Zuzana Rojtová has confirmed that former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, who is currently in jail following what the EU has called a politically motivated trial, has failed to receive adequate medical attention and is in serious condition. The MEP traveled to Kiev last Friday and was allowed to inspect medical records, which reportedly showed a decision should have been taken on surgery regarding the politician's lumbar spine. Jan Wellinger has the details.
There is growing concern about the health of imprisoned former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, and for good reason, Czech MEP Zuzana Rojtová confirmed on Tuesday prior to leaving Kiev. According to Rojtová, a former health minister in the Czech Republic, Mrs. Tymoshenko has been denied proper care. Her daughter Yevhenia, who met with the Czech MEP, stated her mother was in severe pain, unable to rise from her bed, and unable to sleep properly at night. What is worse, Tymoshenko has reportedly been subjected to long hours of interrogation and has lost access to crutches or painkillers. On top of that, the family is fearful the politician is purposely being poisoned. Here's what her daughter Yevhenia Tymoshenko had to say.
They might be doing something to her that might be poisoning her. They might be putting substances somehow, you know, in the surrounding, in the air, in the atmosphere.
Czech MEP Zuzana Rojtová says those fears are substantiated. Certainly many will still recall foul play in Ukraine's recent past when presidential candidate and later president Viktor Yushchenko suffered major facial disfigurement, believed to be the result of dioxin poisoning. Czech MEP Zuzana Rojtová has confirmed that in Mrs. Tymoshenko's case, she will push for proper testing.
I'm going to recommend that samples of her hair be analyzed and for toxicological analysis to be conducted.
So far, though, her request has been turned down by the Ukrainian authorities. The country's deputy health minister, Raisa Moisheenko, said that the jailed former prime minister had herself rejected all offers, including basic care. She insisted there was nothing more Ukraine could do. Yulia Tymoshenko, a symbol of Ukraine's 2004 and 2005 Orange Revolution, was sentenced last year to 7 years in prison for alleged abuse of power. Even then, her trial set off alarm bells and suspicions she was being targeted as the result of old political scores. The European Union's High Representative for Foreign Affairs, Catherine Ashton, for example, said the verdict in her trial had shown that justice in Ukraine was being applied selectively. The Czech Republic has since expressed support for the politician, with European Commissioner for Enlargement and European Neighborhood Policy, Stefan Fiala, taking an interest. Mrs. Tymoshenko's husband, as well as a former cabinet member, were also granted political asylum in the Czech Republic. Regarding Mrs. Tymoshenko's state of health, foreign doctors were recently allowed access, Czech TV said, but the results of their tests have not been released.
A very interesting story for sure, brought to you by Jan Wellinger. And we, of course, will be following how the story develops. If you have any views that you would like to share about this particular story or about our program in general, we are also on Facebook, where you can leave us comments and share your opinions online there. And now we switch to the realm of arts. Something is in the air in Prague's Old Town Hall. An exhibition titled Other Air gives the public a chance to see both a retrospective of Czech and Slovak surrealist art from the last two decades, as well as surrealist works from renowned international artists. In addition, the exhibition features a rich accompanying program with surrealist films and readings and a bilingual catalog with surrealist texts and poems. The ambitious project kicked off in February and will be running in the Czech capital until April. I spoke to artist and member of the Czech Surrealists, Kateřina Piňošová, about the exciting and unusual project.
There are about 450 works by not only the members of the Czech-Slovak Surrealist group, but also our friends from abroad. We have Kathleen Fox here from England, who I consider the marvel, I mean, of a creator. And then we have Bill Howe, his drawings here, Stephen Clark. We've got the most famous names are Jan and Eva Schwankmeier. There are four sections here, and the first section is called The Object. The second, the magnet. The third, the spring, like spring well. And the last one is the lightning, which is very important. That's the opposite of love and death, Eros and Thanatos. And also we have this aspect of defenestration here, because in this old town hall, the most famous defenestration happened in the past. And we created something which is, say, like a porn grave, because that for us represents the opposite poles of love and death.
What other projects? I believe this project is quite ambitious in its nature. So what other events linked to the exhibition are taking place in Prague?
There are films showing in Pondrepo Cinema every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And there are films by Jan Schwankmeier, by David Jažab, who are all members of the group, but they are filmmakers too. And we have also this French Nicolas Sornaga, his film that is showing on the, for example, on the 6th of March. So I believe that will be in French too. And then we have Jan Daniel, for example, and Martin Čihák's short films here. And then we have every Thursday we have readings and showings or projections. So the works by the current members of the group are read at these evenings.
So lots of interesting events going on in Prague right now. Now, how would you describe surrealist art, and how would you describe the Czech contribution to this stream of art?
It's always very hard to explain what surrealism is for us who actually participate in collective activities and who actually share the same view. It's not ideology, it's not real movement in the sense of these isms, you know, like expressionism and stuff like that, because I think it's the way people live and the way they perceive the world, like how deep they would go to explore themselves and the world. It's not only about the unconscious, it's about all human being, all sensibility. So this is what we share, and I think this is about surrealism. The exhibition shows it pretty well. It's not anything bizarre. It is not fantasy. It is what we call reality in reality. So this is really exploration of individuals that we share, and then we combine it, and then we collectively play with that. I must say that I think our group has the most members. I mean, people who are really, each individual is active, creative, and we do work together. But I think we do represent for many foreigners, actually the kind of a little kind of island in the world where they can go and where something is really happening within what they are looking for, this sensibility.
Kateřina Piňošová, a member of the Czech Surrealist group, was talking to me about the Surrealist Other Air exhibition there. It's currently on in Prague. And now in our feature this week, we stay in the Czech capital. In this week's edition of Spotlight, Dominik Jun takes us to Prague's famous TV tower in Žižkov, where he found himself actually in the middle of a veritable spring clean.
I'm standing in Prague's Žižkov area in a small park, and in front of me are three steel concrete tubes shooting up into the sky, because I'm in front of the Žižkov television tower, which is just marking 20 years since it opened in 1992, where it started operation. Construction on it began in 1985, still under the communist
regime. Many Prague people despise this building, and others love it. It's 216 meters tall. It was designed by architect Václav Aulický. There's a restaurant up at 66 meters and a viewing cabin at 93 meters. In the year 2000, the sculptor David Černý adorned this rocket-like structure with several crawling baby statues. So we're going to go and talk to somebody inside and learn more about this structure. So I've just met with Roman Lein, who is the representative of Oriatea, which is a company that's just secured a 25-year lease on the television tower. We're up in the 66-meter-high restaurant. However, it's a building site at the moment. It's just being reconstructed. So I'm going to ask Mr. Lein, what's happening here?
Presently, reconstruction is underway on the restaurant section. After that, renovation will take place of the observatory above us. At this point, the raw demolition work has been completed, and efforts will be shifting towards the creation of new interiors for the restaurant.
And tell me about this new the ownership of the Ortea. Tell me what's happened with that. Who owns the place now, and why it changed hands?
At present, the owners of the firm which owns the tower are Australian investors, and we have a lease agreement effectively for 25 years with the stipulation that we invest in this site, and then we spend the next 2.5 decades running the restaurant park and the garages at the bottom of the structure.
This tower primarily operates as a communication tower or a tourist spot for eating and visiting.
It's used primarily for telecommunication purposes, while we have a lease on all the public places, including the restaurant, for the purposes of serving tourists.
And many Czechs have differing opinions about this tower. Some people hate it, some people love it. What's your personal view?
For our purposes, aiming to run the place for tourists, it is actually an advantage that this structure was once voted the second ugliest on Earth. That presents a marketing advantage, as people will certainly be interested in seeing such an infamous place.
Can I ask you a little bit about the history of this tower? From what you know, why was it built?
Building started during the former regime, but it wasn't opened until just after the Velvet Revolution. And now we're marking 20 years since the opening of the publicly accessible part of the tower. I don't fully know why it was built, but I do know that it still serves some kind of military purpose because military staff often visit here. But at the same time, it functions to provide a telecommunications hub. Broadcasts began 21 years ago, and the public part only opened a year after that.
And what will be different here? Why did this? Was it in desperate need of renovation? The tower.
We're slightly changing the interior of the tower because in the past there was an unnecessarily large number of rooms here. Lots of catacombs, and visitors would become disoriented as to where exactly they were. So we've entirely demolished the interior, and we will do the same in the observatory so that everyone who enters the tower will be able to have a 360-degree view and know exactly where they are.
And what do you think of the view? Does it still, you work here every day, does it still inspire you? You think it's a great view of Prague here?
Yes, and that will form the basis of our marketing approach, that the restaurant will provide the greatest view of Prague.
Protože bude mít krásný výhled na všechny světové strany a s tím hodláme pracovat.
So when will this renovation be completed?
Our target date at the moment is June the 1st.
Okay, so we're just stepping into the service elevator and we are now going up to the viewing platform, the viewing area, which is So what's above? There's a space where people are not allowed to go that's even higher. So how high can a human being go?
The public isn't allowed any higher from here on. Those are purely technical floors.
Right, so you can't go there either. No. Okay. So we're at the top of the tower as far as tourist visitors are concerned. 93 meters high, and there's various people here, and there's loads of windows so people can look out and see a panoramic view of Prague, which is quite wonderful today. It's a remarkably clear February day. So what can we see here?
V podstatě z observatoře můžeme vidět vlastně celou Prahu ze všech stran.
We can see all of Prague from the observatory here. There are three cupolas up here, and they basically enable a 360-degree view of the city. When the weather is good, you can even see the Krkonoše Mountains and the Great Peak in Vršovice, if the weather is good enough. Sadly, though, today it isn't, and although you can make it out a little, from this cupola we can see the old town, the castle, and the entire center of Prague.
So the Krkonoše, how far away is that? Is that like 200 kilometers?
180 kilometers.
180 kilometers.
So we're now going to have a look to the other side, which faces in the opposite direction. And here we have a view. This is a view east. So we're now looking eastwards. So how many people come here every day to the tower?
V současnosti sem chodí průměrně 200 lidí.
Presently, it's about 200 visitors a day all year round, and that is before the reconstruction is complete. We will obviously try to increase that, but right now we haven't undertaken any advertising of the fact that this place is having a makeover, and we won't be doing that until we've reopened.
And what do you think of the David Černý's babies on the tower?
I like it, and I think it belongs here as much as the tower itself. Tourists certainly like it and find it interesting too.
So once the restaurant reconstruction is complete, you're going to be doing some reconstruction here as well?
The reconstruction will take place while keeping the place partially open so as to minimize disruption. If a visitor has come all the way here, we don't want to be telling them that we're closed. We'll be doing the same thing as with the restaurant, demolishing a lot of walls to make the place more open and to create a truly panoramic view. So that visitors coming up here have more than the view, we'll also be adding interactive touch screens and internet-based features so they can learn about key places, historical figures, and moments in history of Prague and the Czech Republic.
Roman Lein was showing Prague's famous television tower to Dominik Jun in this week's edition of Spotlight here on Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. And now we are rounding off our regular weekday program for you with ABC, a popular Czech language learning series brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to our Czech language series in which we study the Czech language from head to toe. I hope you are all ears today because we are going to talk about, yes, the organ of hearing. The Czech word is
ucho.
If Czechs use the irregular plural
uši,
they refer to human or animal ears. But
ucho
also means a handle, such as on a bag or a mug, or it can even mean an eye, the eye of a needle. In those cases, the plural is perfectly regular.
Ucha.
We know what people mean if they say they are up to their ears in debt.
Po uši v dluzích.
But Czechs can also be up to their ears in love.
Zamilovaní až po uši.
Or to use an English idiom, head over heels in love. That can be a good reason to grin from ear to ear.
Smát se od ucha k uchu.
If you don't do very well in an exam and you just about pass it, Czechs say they passed with their ears scraped.
S odřenýma ušima.
As if they had to crawl through a narrow tunnel, so narrow that they scraped their ears while trying to get through. Dog ears, that is folded corners of pages in books, are donkey ears in Czech.
Oslí uši.
If someone is very clever and cunning, Czechs say
má za ušima,
translated as he has behind the ears. What it is that you are supposed to have behind your ears to make you extremely smart is not clear, though. I guess our forefathers must have meant the brain. But that is not really behind the ears, but rather between them, isn't it? There is another similar idiom.
Zapiš si to za uši.
Or write it behind your ears, meaning don't forget it, remember it well. And that's enough ear idioms for today. We hope you had time to remember at least some of them and that they did not just go in one ear and straight out the other.
Jedním uchem dovnitř a druhým ven.
In case they did, there is always our website www.radio.cz/English, where you can go through our program again at your leisure. Till next time.
Naschledanou.
Bye bye.
Pavla Horáková with ABC, and I'm afraid that brings us to the end of Radio Prague's English program for the day. But of course, we would always like to hear your thoughts and your input on our program. So if you've got any thoughts to share on what you've heard on the show today, you can contact us either by email to english@radio.cz. You can also find us on Facebook, or you can write us a good old-fashioned letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And we also have a Twitter account for you to follow, as well as a news email that you can sign up for on our website, radio.cz. There you can also find a huge archive with reports, features, both in text and audio form, so make sure to check that out. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, thank you very much for listening, and for me, Sarah Borůvka, and all of us here at Radio Prague, bye-bye.